that song, Be Still. Maybe we're finding that hard thing to do, is being still. But let's be still and come into his presence. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak to us. Help us to have ears to hear your gentle voice. Lord God, we thank you so much for your presence with us. And we pray that the peace, as Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace this season, might be ours today. Amen.
Amen.
Great. Well, so we're continuing our season, a series on seasons. And some of you won't have been in on this at the start, but we're working our way through Ecclesiastes, a book being part of the wisdom literature in the Old Testament. The writer was really unknown. It's thought it could be Solomon, but he writes particularly in chapter 3 about seasons of life. And so that's where we're coming from. For everything there is a season, a time for activity under heaven, a time to tear and a time to mend. And as I was looking at this, I was thinking, what can we draw from this in this Christmas season? It's not an obvious text to look at, but I think there'd be something here for us. So we're going to be looking at tearing and mending and looking at the choice facing us. The slightly thing that's ironic is that it seemed to be good to be having torn clothes nowadays. It has bypassed me a bit, this one. So I'm not going to use that as an illustration, all right? So we're going to move on a bit. But Barbara was a bit worried this morning because I insisted on bringing my pyjamas. I've had these for... how many years? A long time. But you know what it's like when you have a comfy pair of pyjamas, you never want to get rid of them, do you? And so the cotton is going a bit rotten, I have to say. There is now a distinct tear under the armpit. Shame, isn't it? Yeah. So I'm not hinting at presents for Christmas, and I'd hate everyone to buy me pyjamas. But there is something, isn't there, about... this that says, actually, this is the end of life for this garment. And it'll go into recycling, all being well. Once there is torn, there's no going back. It's too far gone. So I can't use that for the purpose it's destined. It was bought for. On the other hand, I love jumpers. And I love comfy fit jumpers. And... occasionally, you know where they all seem to go, don't they, under the armpits? And you snag them sometimes. But I'm perhaps an old man, not in the age-wise, old man of the old school, as it were, in that my sewing skills were really never developed. But Barbara is great. So being a typical male, I appeal to her, and she sewed it up for me. And I've got a number of jumpers now that are being restored and I really enjoy wearing. And hopefully I'll have those for many years of life to come. Although David, my son, his partner, has told us that she's getting us jerseys for Christmas, matching jerseys for Christmas. So I don't quite know what that means, but anyway. There we go. So the jumper is capable of restoration. It was being we could mend it, and hopefully there's many more years of life. But just looking at tearing, this word tearing, it's such a violent word, isn't it? There's no mistake about it. It's something that is quite violent. But there's quite a lot of scripture in the Old Testament about tearing. For instance, the priests were supposed to make their clothes in such a way that they would not tear. Make the robe of the ephod entirely of blue cloth, it says in Exodus, with an opening for the head in its centre. There shall be a woven edge like a collar around this opening so it will not tear. A torn garment would appear scruffy And they were to be an example of holiness or completeness as priests. Tear, if it's something was torn, it was a sign of unfitness to serve. Interestingly, I was just thinking this morning that when Jesus died on that cross, and you might remember that the soldiers cast lots for what was left, his garments. But when it came to a particular garment, they couldn't decide because it was seamless. It had no seams joining it up, and it was of one piece. And it just made me think of the priesthood. So the word tearing is used as a violent action by the Lord taking away the kingdom of Solomon. I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. We read that in Kings. Tearing thus indicates a strong emotion and strong action is needed. Tearing cloths as well was a sign of mourning. We read about David. David said to Joab and all the people with him, "Tear your clothes and put on sackcloth and walk in mourning in front of Abner." Torn clothes were a sign of anguish over the brokenness or finality of a life gone. There are many references in the Bible to people tearing their clothes as a sign of strong anguish. Sometimes we wonder, well, why so that? Well, we have to remember that in the Middle East, the whole economy was worked very much on agriculture. And clothes were actually incredibly valuable. So actually tearing your cloth, your clothes, whatever you were wearing, indicated something of a sacrifice because you were angry, you were mournful. It demonstrated an intense emotion. So, tearing is normally associated with death or the end of something. It doesn't just mean an accidental tearing of your clothes, as you might do if you were caught yourself on a protruding nail. No, the tearing in Scripture is all about the end of things. So how does that fit then? That's tearing. What about mending? Well, do you have anyone, I include myself a little bit in this, remember make, do, and mend? Was that something that resonated? Maybe with your parents or your grandparents? This was a saying that was particularly in the last war, of actually when things were really scarce, of having to make, do, and mend things. I remember my grandmother, have you ever heard of something called darning? Yes. Do people still darn things? I hush my mouth then. But it's one of those things, I certainly have never been taught to darn, but people used to darn socks, darn jumpers, darn things to keep them usable, effectively, to patch them up. So darning was something that I remember my grandma doing. And another thing she used to do, which is, in these days of our concern about the environment, she used to take odd little bits of soap. You know, on a soap bar, when it gets so to a point where it's pretty useless, and she used to get the soap, and she used to collect the soap up, boil it, and make another soap bar out of it. Whew. Mind you, she used up quite a lot of energy on gas, I suppose. Yeah. So it might defeat the object a wee bit, but mending is very different. Mending is about restoration. Mending is about hope for the future. When Barbara mends my jumper, she extends its useful life and makes me very happy. Another mention of mend in the Old Testament is in Psalms. "You have shaken the land and torn it open. Mend its fractures, for it is quaking." Which is clearly about limiting destruction and bringing hope of restoration. If the destruction was complete, there would be no hope for the future. So the psalmist cries to the Lord to mend the breaks to prevent the total destruction happening. A word that does appear in Scripture considerably more often is restore, and particularly in the New Testament, which is what we do when we mend something. We seek to restore it so its life can be extended. So in this verse we read in Ecclesiastes, we see that Solomon seems to be saying there are times when it is right to bring something to an end, to tear. There are other times when it is right to extend its life. So I just want us now to look at something rather different, but you'll get the picture, I hope. And Nick is going to come and read to us.
The reading today comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 33, where Jesus is questioned about fasting. The Pharisees said to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours go on eating and drinking." Jesus answered, "Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast." He told them this parable: "No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it onto an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for he says, the old is better."
Thanks, Nick. Thank you. So the you might see where I might want to pick up in that parable that Jesus spoke to his disciples and spoke about. We have a choice to make. Essentially, do we tear things or do we restore them? And Jesus spoke about the dangers of trying to patch things. "No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse." So when Jesus uses this as an analogy, when he is challenged by the Pharisees about fasting, essentially is challenging their adherence to their old religious garment and their failure to see the new one before their eyes. The kingdom of God is ushering a new era. When Jesus died, one thing that happened, a number of things happened, but when Jesus was crucified, the curtain in the temple was torn top to bottom by God revealing the most holy place where only the high priest could previously go. This signified that all could potentially come into God's presence because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, taking on the sins of all people. What can we learn from this then? Firstly, that he can restore and mend us, reconciling us to God the Father. In Galatians 3, we read there, "For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Paul talks so often about putting off the old things and putting on the new. One of the things that we have to decide is at what point. Oh, I lost that one. The danger of patching our faith, trying to mix new and old, holding on to old habits and behaviour. There are things in our lives that need to be changed. Sin needs to be torn out. It could be bitterness that's holding us back. It could be something that we know we've tried to live with for maybe years and years. We know has got to change. There are things in our lives at times that we need to tear out and things that we need to restore. So, do we need to allow God to come and mend and restore us? I think for most of us, the answer is yes in some way. And where it links in with this season that we're coming into and this word that we have today is peace. And to know God's peace is to know him inside us. I wonder this time, how is your spirit at peace? Are you completely with Jesus? What might it mean this Christmas time as we experience Emmanuel, God coming to be with us again? As Jesus came in that nativity, and he will come again at the end of the age, in a sense, he comes to us afresh each year, each time we come to him. He comes to us in a fresh way. What might this mean for you this Christmas time as we experience him? What does it mean effectively? What is going to be different about this Christmas? Jesus pointed many a time to be at peace with him is to be totally aligned with his purpose and his love for us. Anything else creates tension. As in a cloth that tears, there's a tension. Where something is mended, that is where Jesus comes effectively and mends and restores things in our lives. So I would encourage us, and I think God's word for today is to come and know his peace. And maybe we need to come afresh. Maybe we need to come for the first time. But Jesus loves us. And the biggest thing he would love this Christmas is our hearts. Our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Our next song we're going to sing, Let Me Have My Way Among You. Do not strive, do not strive. Do not strive. And that's because Jesus has done it for us. And the worst thing we can do is to strive. We need to allow him to come into our lives, to change our minds and change our hearts. Strive means making great efforts to achieve or obtain something. But Jesus has done all that is necessary to clothe us afresh. And he brings peace. May we know his peace this Christmas time. So we're going to sing now. I'm going to ask you to sit down as we sing this song, and then I'm going to pray afterwards. So if Gillian could lead us on that, that'd be great. So Jace, remain seated.